I would like to ask today that you continue to pray for the message and pray today for those who are not saved. I want to share a scripture reading. If you would like to read with me, I'd like to ask you to turn to the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 34. These are words that were spoken by Jesus when he was here on the earth. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I'll stop my reading there with verse 39. I have a title that I would like to use today, and that is, Oh, What a Day. When we were singing today, I looked out over the congregation and I thought, there are those here today that obviously, and some that I know about, some that you may know about, perhaps others that I don't know about, but those here today that are not prepared and not ready for what's ahead. And that's a sad thought. And I want to say that if you're here today and you're not prepared, if you're lost and without the Lord, that ought to burden your heart today more than anything else ever will. And for the church today, the fact that people are lost and not ready ought to burden the hearts of every child of God here today. And we ought to be willing always to tarry and wait upon the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in the hearts of those who are lost. That ought to be a great burden to us. That there are those that are not ready and not prepared for what lies ahead. So I want you to think about that thought with me. Oh, what a day. There are things that we read about in the Scriptures that I believe, and they were wrought by the power of God and the workings of God, and I believe that they were phenomenal. I mean, just phenomenal. I don't think we really understand everything about the flood. When the flood came, and Jesus here spoke about those days in these verses that I read, he spoke about the days of Noah. The flood, no doubt, when it came upon the earth, no doubt produced a lot of ecological and geological changes. It changed the earth itself in many ways, I'm sure. But the great spiritual things that happened are more worthy to be noted because there were so many at the time that the flood came, there were so many that were not ready. In fact, we know well from the teachings of God's Word that when the flood came upon the earth, that there were only 8 people that survived it. And then on the other side of the flood, they had to start and they had to again repopulate and replenish the earth. 8 people. I don't know how many lived. Supposedly the earth, and I say supposedly because I don't think we have it exactly accurately down to the day, but the earth was somewhere around 1656 years old when the flood came upon the earth. And they had been warned. They had been told about what was going to come. And yet, when the day came that God sent the flood upon the earth, there were 8 people that were ready, and there were 8 people that survived it. And the way that they survived it was by listening to God. If they had not listened to God, and if they had not listened to His instructions, then they would not have survived it either. They listened to the Lord. The warning of the day that I'm talking about and want to speak to you about today, there's a great warning that's going out today. But I'm afraid that there are so many people that are not listening. And when I woke up this morning, I wonder today where the minds of the people are at. What are they thinking about today? What is the general population of people thinking about today? Certainly the upcoming election is on the minds of people. I had the early morning news on for a little while today, and that was about all that they were talking about, was the upcoming election. Nobody came on the news and said, folks, listen, you need to get ready because the Lord is coming back. Nobody made any mention of that. They spoke a lot about politics and a lot about who might win the election, but nobody said anything about the certain imminent destruction that is about to come. And it will come. It will come. I think if we would have seen the flood, we would have been astonished at what it was really like. When God began to send the rain down from above, and the fountains of the deep were broken up from underneath, and water was filling the earth from below and above, that it would have been a phenomenal sight to see what was happening. The Bible doesn't tell us everything. In fact, to be honest, it doesn't give us a lot of details about the flood. But I do believe that the Lord, in allowing us to live and allowing us to see the way that people react to things. We all saw, the news, through the news broadcast, we saw many of the things that, and the way that people reacted on 9/11. And I believe that we are very safe and very, could be very accurate in assuming that when the flood came, that there was mass hysteria, there was panic, there was fear in the hearts and the minds of the people, and they came to the point where they realized and they knew beyond doubt that it was too late for them. It was just too late. There was no way of escape. There was no way after that God had shut the door of the ark, there was no way in. Nobody that was in there could get out. Nobody that was in there wanted to get out. And no doubt there was strong crying, many tears, many people wailing and bemoaning because of what was happening. But, you know, as the old saying goes, it was what it was. And it is what it is. And so I'm sure that it would have been a sight to see the day that God rained fire down from heaven, fire and brimstone down from heaven upon the city of Sodom. He told those that were leaving, don't you even look back at what's going to be happening. And I'm sure that no doubt that would have been a phenomenal sight to see God sending destruction down from above in the form of fire upon a city and destroying that city because of their sinful way that they were living. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a day coming that, in my estimation, there's never been a day like the day that's yet to come. There's never been anything, to be honest with you, the way I feel about it, I don't think the flood would match it. I don't think the destruction of Sodom would match it. I believe the Lord has yet to have a day that will be more phenomenal than anything that has ever taken place. I've said many times that when I was probably in my late teenage years or maybe early 20s or maybe even a little bit before that, I used to hear people talk all the time about and express a great fear of us being destroyed by nuclear destruction, by nuclear war. You know, I used to hear people all the time talking about somebody, some deranged mind is going to, push the wrong button or something like that, and there's going to be nuclear war, and it's just going to devastate and destroy the earth. And, honestly, I never did believe it. I never believed it. Because I had read in the Word of God about what's going to destroy the world and how the destruction of this earth is going to come. But when I used to hear people think about that, I thought, you know, the thoughts no doubt that people have of this global mass nuclear destruction, I'm sure their thoughts wouldn't even come close to comparing to what the day of the Lord will be like. And I want to talk about some of that a little bit in this, about the things that the Apostle Peter had to write about it. But in these verses from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus spoke about the end of time, and he spoke about the days of Noah. Now, one thing that he told us concerning the end of the world is that of the day and of the hour that it will take place, no man knows. We don't know today, do we? You could make a prediction, but I promise you it won't work. You don't know. We don't know. That has been kept from our knowledge. Only God knows of that day and of that hour. But there are many things that we can read in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. There are many things that we can know about the end of time. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. I feel very pressed to preach this to you. This really began to work on me heavily yesterday, and I feel an urgency in this. I do. I feel very pressed and an urgency in preaching this because, listen, and you can say what you want to about me. You can call me a Bible thumper or whatever you want to say about me. But let me tell you today, the end of the world is approaching. The end of the world is coming. There is certain imminent destruction that we are facing. Now, because of what Jesus said here, of the day and of the hour, no man knows when that's going to be. And because of that teaching and the truth behind that teaching, the only thing that I can do today is to express my view and my opinion, but I believe it's swiftly approaching. I do. Well, preacher, do you know when it will be? No, I don't. But I do believe that it's swiftly approaching. Now, I want us to think for just a moment about what the Lord said about the days of Noah. And you no doubt have heard this used. I've heard many preachers preach this in this way. In fact, I've done it myself. But there was something, when I was studying this, there was something that dawned on me just recently about what Jesus was saying. We go back into the days of Noah, and we read about how that God looked down upon his creation. He looked down upon mankind, and it sickened him, and it grieved him at his heart because he saw that they were so prone to do evil. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. That's what the Bible says about them. And it grieved God at his heart and repented the Lord that he had even made man because of the immorality that they had slipped into. And so God pronounced judgment upon them and said, I will destroy them from the face of the earth. And so now we hear many years later, Jesus was talking about the end of the world, and he was making a comparison to the days of Noah. But you know, I believe generally we talk about, in this comparison, we talk about the evil. We compare our time and Noah's time, and we make the comparison of the evil. But you know, that's really not what the Lord said here. What he said was, as the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were just eating, and they were drinking, and they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. And in other words, the comparison that Christ was making here was that they were going about their everyday lives as if nothing was approaching them. That's what he was talking about. They were lethargic. They were asleep. Noah was building the ark. Noah was warning the people. Noah was telling them about what was facing them. Noah was telling them that God had pronounced a judgment upon them because of their sin, and that he was going to bring a flood, and that through that flood he was going to bring the destruction of the masses. But they were going about their lives not listening to anything that was said and not watching for the approaching doom. Now, what do you think now about today? What do you think that is happening among people today? And listen, I'm going to be quite honest about this. I'm not going to hold anything back about what I believe. I'm just going to be honest and forthcoming about this here today. I'm convinced that people are doing the same thing today that they were doing in the days of Noah. They're not listening to the warning. They're not heeding the warning. They're not watching the signs. They're not looking to the Lord. The world today around us is certainly not watching for the coming of the Lord. And to be honest with you, I'm not convinced that the church is either, that we're really watching for the coming of the Lord. You know, Jesus told us to watch. He said that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And listen, upon this lost and unregenerated world, that's exactly how it will come. It will come as a thief in the night. But the Word of God also tells us that for God's people, for the Lord's church, that that day should not overtake us as a thief in the night. You know why? Because we ought to be watching. We ought to be watching. But ask yourself the question today, and you don't have to answer to me, and I don't have to answer to you, and you don't have to answer out loud. You can answer the question today, Christian friend, in your own heart. When was the last time that you looked to the eastern skies in anticipation of the bright coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you do it today? Did you wake up this morning anticipating that? Did you wake up expecting that? Did you wake up watching for that? Jesus told us to watch, didn't he? You know, he may not have thought that we would get up every morning and literally look to the sky, but he told us to watch. The hearts of people today seem to be fixed upon anything but what is approaching. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. The sad part of it is many anymore are not even doing those things between a man and a woman. I mean, friends, listen, there's great wickedness in the earth. I'm afraid that there's more wickedness in this earth today than what you and I really want to admit. I mean, there are some vile things that are going on in the United States of America. There are things that are going on in this nation today that they go up as a stench to the nostrils of God. I'm telling you, there are things happening among our country that turn God's stomach, if you can look at it that way. They're putrefying. They're a stench to the Lord. I mean horrible, immoral, evil things that are happening in our world today. Well, preacher, we don't want to hear that. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. But that doesn't make it any less the truth, does it? Doesn't make it any less the truth. God looked down there upon the city of Sodom, and I'm telling you, it's easy enough to understand and to read and to know from the scriptures that God looked down upon the city of Sodom, and because of the homosexuality that was taking place there and the sinful way that those people were living, he pronounced judgment upon them, and he sent fire and brimstone down, and he destroyed them from the face of the earth. And I'll tell you what, friends, when people get to living that way and acting that way, they ought to look for destruction from above. It's coming. I'm telling you today, it's coming. It'll probably be here quicker than any of us think. But I can tell you one thing for certain today. I don't know the hour, I don't know the day, but I can tell you for sure that it's coming. I can tell you for sure today, whether I do it from the earth or whether I do it after rising from the grave, one of these days I'll look and I'll see the Lord, I'll see my Savior, and I'll see His appearing. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they which pierced Him,
And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know, people have asked me before, would you like to be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord? Well, yes, that'd be wonderful. I'd be happy to be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. But my answer has been, whether I am or whether I'm not, whether I'm alive and remaining, or whether I'm one of those that has long since gone the way of the grave, it doesn't make any difference. I will not miss the coming of the Lord. Every eye will see him. Those that stood, I mean, they really thought they had the Lord, didn't they? That soldier standing back there that took that spear and pierced him in the side, those that took the mallets and the nails and drove the nails in his hand, I mean, they thought they'd really done away with him. But they didn't do away with Jesus. On the third day, he rose from the grave, and he, after many days, he was with his disciples and standing there with them, and a cloud came down. Now, you know, you see a lot of big limos and stuff when you're out. Boy, we had a good lesson here Wednesday night on vanity. You see a lot of big limos and stuff like that. I mean, people are really wrapped up in the things of the world, but you talk about a ride. You talk about royalty. When it came time for Jesus to leave the earth, a cloud came down and took him away. Took him away. He left on a cloud. And they stood there watching him as he ascended. And there were two angels that stood by them and assured them and asked them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus." Listen, friends, there's not another Jesus coming back. There's not a different Jesus that's coming back. The Jesus that lives in my heart today, the very same Jesus that saved my soul, he's the only Jesus that there ever has been. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. He's the same forever. And the very same Jesus that died on the cross for our sins, the very same Jesus that rose from the grave, the very same Jesus that was ascending back to the Heavenly Father, they said the same Jesus that is taken from you shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. And one day the clouds will escort him back. One day he'll come in the clouds of glory, and every eye will see him. Oh, what a day. You know, that day for everybody, that won't be any mediocre day for anybody. You ever ask somebody, "How was your day?" And they're like, "Eh. You know, it was all right. Nothing special, but it was all right." Let me tell you something. The day of the Lord will be a wonderful day. I mean, it'll be a great, great, great day for those who are saved. And it'll be an awful, horrible, dreaded day for those who are not. But he's coming. Everybody today, worried about everything else, doing everything else, just like people were in the days of Noah, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Peter said in the last days there would come scoffers. Do you think we got scoffers? Sure we do. There's people today, friends, I know this for a fact. There's people today that you can stand up and preach, you can talk about the Lord coming back, and there's people that'll laugh in your face over it. They'll scoff at it. Peter said, in this dispensation of time that we know as the last days, there'll come scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were unto this day." But listen, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. This world today is existing. Time is going on. I'm telling you today, friends, it is pivoting upon the long-suffering of God. If it wasn't, I'm convinced he would have already brought it to a close. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of his coming, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, that ought to help you. That ought to be a great thought to you, that the Lord loves you and that he is long-suffering enough that he is willing to extend time, because he doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want you to die lost. I'll tell you one thing today. If you die lost and without God, it will be because you chose to not seek him. You made the choice not to seek the Lord. It won't be because God wanted you to die in your lost condition. There's not a soul that's ever lived that he wanted that. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, what did Peter say in his writing? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt with a fervent heat. You can say, well, preacher, what about that fire that God is going to destroy the world with? Because that's exactly what the Bible tells us. There was actually a covenant that was made between God and Noah and his sons. And the token of the covenant was a rainbow. And by that, God made a covenant with them that he would never again destroy the earth by water. But Peter said that it is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will destroy the world by fire. And if you've got any questions at all about that fire, Peter said that it is a fire that will melt the elements. They'll melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. And then you know what he did? Peter did something very interesting in that writing. After he said that, he didn't speak necessarily to the unprepared. He spoke to the saints. Read it. Read it in 2 Peter chapter 3. He spoke to the Christians after he said that. And he said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Friends, we need to get the word out, don't we? I mean, we need to sound the trumpet. We need to sound the warning, because destruction is on the way. It's on the way. In that day, you may have all these crazy demonic ideas in your mind, because the devil will give you as many of them as you want. But I'm telling you what, friends, when the Lord splits the skies, when, as the Bible says, when the heavens depart as a scroll, nobody else is going to get it. It's over. It's done. The doors of mercy are going to be closed. It's going to be too late. People think, well, you know, when I see his appearing, when I see the signs, I'll live my life the way I want to until then, and then I'll get it. Then I'll go to the Lord and I'll get saved. But that's not what the book says. The Bible says that the sun will become black as sackcloth of hair, that the moon will no longer give her light, that it'll stream down, I believe, blood as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. I'll tell you what, let me read it. This is really important. Revelation chapter 6. Let's turn and read it together. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man called upon the Lord and got saved? No, doesn't say that. It says they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They weren't running to the Lord, they were running away from him. But it was all in vain, wasn't it? Because God can see through the rocks. God can see through the mountains. God will know exactly where you're at. The Lord's coming. He's coming to get us, church. I'll tell you, he's coming after us. He didn't leave us here forever. He's going to come back and gather us up. He's going to gather his elect. He's going to bring us together from the four corners of the earth, from the four winds. He's going to bring us together. Can you imagine what a day that'll be? All the saints of God, he's going to bring us together. And collectively, in the presence of each other, saints that we never got to meet in this life, he'll gather us all together and at once tell us, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He'll separate those who are not ready. Say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what? It's my great desire today that you would be saved, that you would be ready. It's the Lord's great desire today that you would be ready. If you've been here today under the sound of the Word of God, you'll never be able to stand before God and say, I never had the warning. The trumpet's been sounded. The warning's been sent out. And you know, you've heard this a lot lately with the politicians, but I want to tell you today, my name is Jerry Miller, and I approve God's message. This is not of man, this is of God. This is the Word of God, and he's going to do exactly what he said that he's going to do. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming with great salvation for those that are ready. He's coming with swift destruction for those who are not. Let's sing. Let's stand today and let's have a hymn.